Turn in our Bibles to Luke 17, title of our study this morning, Forgiven, Cleansed, and Prepared. Luke 17, Forgiven, Cleansed, and Prepared. We saw way back in chapter 15, and this will continue, well, until Jesus gets his disciples aside for that Passover dinner right prior to his arrest and crucifixion. Jesus is talking to his disciples, ministering to the apostles who he's separated out from the many disciples. The tax collectors and sinners are there. The Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees are there. He's surrounded continually with people who were pressing in and listening to him. Some were motivated by a sincere desire to know the will of God. They sensed that, hey, this man is unlike any other. There were others who were there just trying to ensnare him and trap him. And he continually goes from one group to the other group, to this group, to that group. And as he does, well, everyone in the circle gets to hear and listen. Now, that's where we come in. We're getting to look at all of it and consider all of it and hopefully learn from and apply it. Well, he said to his disciples, so they're the target of this particular portion, it is impossible that no offenses should come. I did a little word study in that word impossible. Turns out it means impossible. So Jesus is saying you can count on offenses. The word actually means stumbling. In other words, people rather intentionally or unintentionally do stumble other people. So he's saying that's going to happen. But woe to him through whom they do come. I think that's a warning to us, that we wouldn't take it lightly and say, well, you know, I used to sin, I still sin, I sin less. I'm not sinless, but I do sin less. The problem is, I can never take that attitude. I need to realize that when I stumble, when I sin, I'm setting a trap for someone else who's going to trip over me in the process, as it were. Well, woe to him through who they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. This is one of many things Jesus has to say that are beyond troubling. I mean, this sounds more like the Godfather than the Son of our Father and God. Millstone around your neck. Well, what he's saying is, here's how bad sin is. Here's how bad it is to stumble a little brother or a little sister in the Lord, or a little brother or little sister who's your natural offspring or sibling. And so bottom line is he's saying we need to make sure we're not responsible for stumbling other people. Take heed to yourself. That's what he means by that in verse 3. Make sure that's not you. Then he says, if your brother sins against you. And that word if, interesting word. It really should say since. I'm not disagreeing with Jesus. I'm just saying when they translated this, they had a choice. They could say, when your brother sins against you, it would have been completely accurate to the Greek text. In other words, if you don't have any physical brothers, welcome to the family. We'll take care of this for you. You will be sinned against. Not only will you sin, but people will sin against you. And he tells us now how weird a deal with one another, our spiritual family, when we're sinned against. First of all, he says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Now, some of you do this naturally. Hey, you're like, hey, I'm up for that. I love that. I'm down with that or up for that or whatever they're saying these days. The bottom line is if this comes natural to you, then you're going to have to be careful because you're supposed to be doing this in love with a view towards restoration, rebuke, yes, but always with the eye on, hey, I want to restore this relationship. And so it says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If you don't, by the way, well, you'll stew on what he's done or what she's done, and that will cause you problems and other people around you problems. Not only will you be disobeying the Lord, but you'll find something to do instead of what the Lord told you to do. And I've noticed that the two most common options are we either just suck it up, that's what guys do, well, we'll just internalize it and we'll deal with it, but we don't really deal with it because Jesus said we need to go and deal with it. Go to your brother who's offended you. The other thing people do is that, well, they'll start talking to others about it. That's why Jesus is clear in Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, go to him and tell you the fault, or tell him the fault between you and him alone. You're supposed to try to restore the relationship, not bring a bunch of people in to build your case. And so he says, if he sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, I remember years and years ago, and some of you know W.C. Fields. I mean, you don't know him personally, probably, but you've heard of him. He was a comedian, old school, very old school comedian. And someone saw him reading the Bible. That didn't exactly gel with his character, at least what they knew of him. So they said, hey, what are you doing reading the Bible? And he said, looking for loopholes. And so I think sometimes as we read, that happens to us. I read this, and at first reading, it says, if he repents, forgive him. And I'm like, cool, if he doesn't repent, I don't have to forgive him. I'm almost hoping he won't repent because I'm so mad. And, you know, but here's my problem, and here's yours as well. We need to forgive even if he or she doesn't repent. And but if he says, but it says if he repents, forgive him. Yeah, but it means repent. If he repents, then you forgive him and you restore him and you have a new right relationship with him. Here's why we have to forgive even if they don't repent. Unforgiveness, it leads to bitterness. It's like spiritual cancer. It eats you up. It defiles you from the inside out. And you see it. Someone who lives with unforgiveness and stews on the offenses that have, those things that have been done to them, that were never reconciled, that were never put away, over time, you'll see it take a physical toll on them. You just see their face looks bitter or embittered. And so you don't want that to happen to you. And that's not the reason you're going to do this. You're going to do this because Jesus says to do it. But let me just say, if we don't obey him, everything that follows is going to be worse. Not obeying the Lord is sin. And so we're just adding sin to their sin. So our brother sins against us. You can count on it. Rebuke him. And then if he repents, forgive him. And by the way, this is so important. The Lord always forgives us when we come and we say, Lord, forgive me. He doesn't just command us to do this. These things Jesus began to do and teach. That's what we read early in our study of Luke. This is his